The reading this morning is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 7, short reading of verses 1 to 5, and it will be found on page 919 of your Pew Bible. It's entitled, Judging Others. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in someone else's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from the other person's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. We thank the Lord for his word.
Are you someone who remembers your dreams? When you wake up in the morning, do you know what you've dreamt the night before? It's very, very rare that I do. Usually I wake up and it's kind of, oh right, it's morning. I may have dreamt, I may not have done. There could have been a thermonuclear explosion just outside the house, I wouldn't have noticed. I tend to sleep very, very deeply. And so very rarely remember my dreams. But I do have one dream that comes many times. And I know people analyse personalities and characters, so maybe I shouldn't be saying this in a way that will be recorded and then put up on the website. But in a number of my dreams, I basically play a James Bond-type character. And the world is imperiled, and it could be anything. It could be a terrorist thing. It could be just individual baddies who are out to cause havoc. But in my dreams, I am not always wearing the tuxedo, but I am the hero. And I will fight them, I will run, I'm an athlete, I'm a finely honed physique. And as I say, all this is in my dreams. And only in my dreams. But there's something in us, and from conversations I've had, certainly with other men, that is not an uncommon dream. I've even had some conversations with women who have had similar kind of dreams. We kind of like to see ourselves a bit heroically. I can see looking around, some of you go, and that's the life I live when I'm awake as well. I can see that with you. We like to see ourselves a bit heroically, someone who will save others from disaster, that kind of all-action hero type. And when we come to Moses, he very much is the all-action hero when we see him at the beginning of this story. See, he is very much the true Hebrew. He was born into a Hebrew family. They weren't really using the term Jewish by that time, which is why I'm calling him a Hebrew. He was born to Hebrew parents. He was facing probable execution as a Hebrew baby boy. He was hidden. Even once he'd gone into the palace, he was still brought up by his mum through this wonderful intervention of his sister. So he knew, he was rooted in his Hebrew roots, in his Hebrewness, in being one of the people of God, chosen to bring good news to the world. A hero. He was also a prince of Egypt, brought up within the palace, brought up by Pharaoh's daughter, one of Pharaoh's daughters, having influence, having power. While still being aware of his Hebrew heritage, he also has this whole Egyptian culture that he's brought up within. And while as an adopted boy found in the river, he wouldn't have expected to inherit the throne, he would still have been a ruler, a judge, a man of influence and importance within Egypt. He'd have carried himself with that expectation. There are some people that you see them when they walk around. They have a strut. I don't know whether any of you were watching the athletics last night, but as Usain Bolt came out through that big entrance to a huge roar from the crowd, there was a swagger in how he walked. Didn't quite follow through in the race, but there was a swagger in how he walked, because actually, whether he won, whether he lost, whether he got the bronze medal, sorry, spoiler, he was still the greatest runner of 100 metres the world has ever known. He still has the world record. He is still the one that people would want to emulate, would want to beat. And so Moses would have had that similar kind of swagger. Certainly when he goes to intervene, when the two Hebrew men are fighting, they go, well, actually, who was it made you ruler and judge over us? They're seeing him in that way. He's seeing himself in that way. And then a little later on, he is the rescuer of fair maidens, as we see in all the best fairy stories. But he goes, he's at that well, these women are coming to let their sheep drink, and the shepherds drive them away until Moses, one man, the have-a-go hero, the all-action hero, steps in and intervenes. So Moses here within the story, he is the all-action hero, and yet there is a but. There is a but. He doesn't quite live out all that he dreams of being. You see, Moses actually is homeless. And some of you who have lived in different cultures will have experienced something of that. You're no longer living within your home culture. You're living somewhere else, but you don't quite fit in there, but you no longer quite fit in back at home either. You're a little bit, yes, I identify with this, but I identify with that, and as a result, I don't quite belong in either place. And for Moses, that would have been something of his experience. He's a Hebrew, but within an Egyptian palace. How do you make sense of that? How do you work through all of that? He is, as we saw in the story, a law to himself. He kills this Egyptian man with no expectation of consequences. He'd look round, there's no one seeing, there's no one aware of this. I can do whatever I like. In fact, at times, he's a bit of a thug. He is a murderer. Putting it another way, he's the kind of person God chooses to come and bring a rescue. But at this point within the story, he's still throwing his weight around. That was the standard royal behaviour at the time. How world leaders have moved on. Sorry, how have world leaders moved on? They haven't, have they? We've seen ballistic missiles being fired from North Korea going, yes, I'm bigger, I'm more important, I'm more powerful than you. I'm going to throw it towards Japan, but we all know really I'm testing to see whether my missiles can reach America. And if they can, whether they can carry a nuclear warhead to show that actually I'm the man. Or Vladimir Putin officially not invading Ukraine. Or Donald Trump putting up walls, throwing his weight around. Or so many others. Those in positions of power find that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. He's rejected by his own people. When he goes to intervene, who made you ruler? Who made you judge? We want nothing to do with you. And eventually, he is a runaway. He can't face up to his past, and so he flees, knowing that the king has put out an execution order upon him. So we find that our Saviour needs saving. The reason I asked Keith to read that passage from Matthew 7 is that it speaks about hypocrisy, judging others when we are at fault ourselves. And as I read through this story of Moses, that was the thing that came out. I'm the saviour, I'm the hero, I'm the one that can put it all right, and yet I'm as messed up, broken and damaged as anyone, in fact worse than so many others. there's a hypocrisy in this have-a-go hero. But I don't think Moses is unique in that. We probably all like to think that if we see someone in need, we will help. And often we do. Perhaps not by putting ourselves in danger in the way that Moses may have done. Yes, we are helpful, we are nice people. But also we can be blind to our own faults. We too can be hypocrites and end up judging others. At least 1,500 years after the time of Moses, Jesus gave that warning that Keith read to us against that same characteristic. 2,000 years after that, a singer-songwriter called Ed Sheeran, whose name you may have noticed on the opening slide of the PowerPoint, included a similar theme in one of his songs on his hugely successful Divide album. So that's Ed. That's the Divide album. Now, to the best of my knowledge, Ed Sheeran is not a Christian. As a youngster, he did go to church for a bit, and if you listen carefully to the lyrics of his songs, you hear something of that Christian and biblical imagery coming out. And in one of his songs, the one we've taken our title from this morning, Save Myself, he speaks about doing a lot to try and help others and yet achieving very little. Perhaps echoing something of the experience of Moses. He's depressed, he's alone, drinking and taking pills to stave off despair. Then he starts to recognize within that his own faults, his own failings, his own need of saving. Moses started to recognize the same thing when he met with God at the burning bush. So we're going to listen to Ed's song. The lyrics will come up on the screens as well to help you follow and hear something of what's being said. The words that came out there, before I save someone else, I've got to save myself. And I think within that, Ed is close to something. Perhaps we need to just change the save in the bottom line towards the end of the sentence to be saved. If we're to live up to everything that God has made us to be, then we need to recognize that without God, we can easily become the worst version of ourselves. Moses had that realization, that recognition, when he met with God at the burning bush, where God said, now is the time for action. And when he did that, when he met with Moses and said, come on, now I'm sending you back to Egypt to rescue your people, Moses came up with excuses. I'm not up to it. That's essentially the question he asks. He goes, who am I? Who am I to go and do this? I'm not up to it. I'm a failure. I've messed up. I've missed the point. I've killed someone. I've thrown my weight around. I'm a thug. I'm not the kind of guy that you would choose, God. And yet what God says here is not, Moses, really, you are the kind of guy that I want. I've chosen you. What he goes is, says is, you're right. You're not really up to it. But I will be with you. You might not have the resources in yourself to do these things, but I will be with you. So it's not you doing it, it's me doing it through you. Moses feels the excuse slip away, so then comes up, well, I don't know if you're up to it, God. Who are you? If I go and I say to the Hebrew people, God has sent me, they go, yeah, well, which God? They're in Egypt, there are many, many gods. How do we know you're with the right God? How do we know that that God, who has allowed us to be here in slavery, working so hard, making bricks without straw, having been beaten, being killed, how do we know that he's up to it? And God has to look and go, okay, well, where are my resources? My resources as God are within me. I am who I am. So tell them that I am has sent you. We might not feel totally satisfied with that answer. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. But actually, there is no higher person, no higher claim that God can declare himself upon than himself. But Moses isn't satisfied. I need proof. And so he's given these tricks, these miracles, the staff turning to a snake and back again, the hand getting covered with leprosy and then being healed, the water pouring out and turning to blood as it hits the ground. They are impressive. If I was going to do those things this morning, you'd either be impressed or you'd run a mile. And I guess Moses had the same fear when he was to go back and present that to the people of Israel, as he was to go before Pharaoh and actually do many of the same things. How will they respond? We have proof, but how will they respond? And then Moses goes back to perhaps the same claim, the same excuse he started out with. I just don't have the skills. God, what you need a spokesperson. You need someone who can speak really well. And that's not me. I can't do that. If we were in modern workspace, I don't have the skill set for that. And God says, well, remember when you said, I'm not up to it, who am I? I said, I'll be with you. I don't have the skills. Well, I will give you the things to say. I will be guiding you and leading you. So each excuse that Moses comes up for, God answers each one. The past failures and the present failings that Moses has doesn't stop him having potential to serve God. God can take this man, broken, damaged, not a nice guy, and use him to do amazing things. So it is time for Moses to take action. But what about for HBC, Hartford Baptist Church? Is it time for action for us? Because actually, when you look around, the people of Hartford, the people of Ware, the people of Welland, the people of the surrounding towns and villages, they are lost without God. They may not be slaves to Pharaoh making bricks without straw, but they're in slavery to sin. And they need rescuing. And the call that God gives us is to be part of that rescue. And it's easy, just like Moses, to come up with excuses. But when we come up with those excuses of why someone else would be better to do it, why it really shouldn't be me, God has things to say to us too. We might go, I'm not up to it, who am I? And God says, well, actually, I'm sending you. You're the one that I want to do these things. And I will be with you within all of that. I know your struggles. I know your failures. I know the temptations you give into time and time again. I know the way that your temper might let you down. I know the way that you say things without always thinking about the consequences of it. I know about those times that you feel insecure and like there's nothing that you could do that would be worth anything. But God is saying, actually, I sent Moses and I'm sending you. And that is enough because I will be with you. As we step out and serve God, we are never, ever alone. God is with us. He's in us by his Holy Spirit. As Jesus said to his disciples, there will be times that you will be put under incredible pressure. There will be times that you'll be on trial, but don't worry. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. And as we go out, we have that presence of God with us so that we are never alone. Okay, well, we're not alone. Will we know what to do? Well, he says, I will teach you what to do. It's not about being dependent on ourselves, our own skills, our own qualities. It's being dependent on Him, allowing His Spirit to fill us, to work through us, and to bring that transformation. But before we can do any of those things, we need, like Moses, to recognize our failings. To recognize that before we save others, we need to be saved ourselves. Take those failings, bring them before God, let Him transform you. Now, it may be that you're here this morning and you go, well, I've never done that. I've been living a reasonably good life, an okay life. Not killed anybody, I'm not like Moses. But you know that there are things in your life that are not right. And you need to bring them to God. Because the wonderful news of Christianity is that Jesus Christ died to save us from those sins. And it may be this morning that you go, yeah, I know I need to do that. Before I go on and do anything else, I need to be saved myself. But also for those of us that have been walking with God for many years, we know we've been forgiven, but we still feel like we fall short. We still feel like failures. We still feel as if we are less than we could be. And you know what? We are less than we could be. I'm sorry if this is a shock, but none of you have attained perfection. Not one of us has. And again, we come to God and we go, Lord, I'm struggling with this. I'm finding this hard. I'm bringing you my failure. Save me from it. Not so that we can be perfect before we go and serve, but so that we can be saved before we go and serve. That's the requirement, that you be walking with God, forgiven, accepted, and loved by Him. And then you have good news for those around. So I'm going to pray and bring those failures to God. And then we're going to sing a song about the times that we failed. It starts with the line, 1,000 times I failed. That may be how you feel this morning, but God is there. God is big enough to deal with it, to meet us in that and restore us. So let's pray. Father God, we come before you ashamed, knowing that we fall short of what you call us to be. Perhaps today, perhaps just over this last week, we can think of times where we've said things or done things or thought things that are not what you would want. And we come and we say sorry. We recognize that we have failed. The times that we've said what we shouldn't have done and the times that we haven't said what we should. Father, we recognize that if we are to be used by you, we need to be walking in step with you. And so we pray, Father God, by your Spirit, cleanse us, give us that fresh new start, that we might be used for your mission to rescue not the Israelites from Egypt, but the people around us from sin, through your power, through your grace and your initiative. Come, fill us with your Spirit and use us for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.